Have you ever been enslaved to anything? Have you ever felt stuck in a situation, a pattern of behavior, or a dysfunctional relationship? A situation that just felt impossible to overcome on your own. Many years ago, I was a single father and a full-time graduate student. And even though I had a good scholarship and worked part-time, it was sometimes really difficult to make ends meet. One of the ways that I supplemented my income was by using a credit card. Now, up to this point, I didn't use credit cards, and so it felt like free money. I would charge things on the card without giving it too much thought and feel okay as long as I could make that minimum payment at the end of the month. Until I maxed out the card. And suddenly, I felt the heavy weight of debt. Especially since I had nothing to fall back on if I needed extra money now that the card was at its limit. And this is when I began to realize that debt is a form of slavery. Fortunately, when my dad discovered how much debt I had racked up, he paid it off. And after purchasing my freedom, he explained compounding interest and told me never to do it again. What about you? Have you ever been a slave to debt? Or have you ever been a slave to alcohol, drugs, or some other kind of addiction? Some people are perpetually haunted by their past and become a slave to fear, guilt, or shame. Others are a slave to anger, bitterness, or resentment, which keeps them stuck in self-destructive and relationship-killing patterns. I've also met people who felt trapped in abusive or dysfunctional relationships, and others that have been enslaved by grief. They lost someone that they loved, and they just couldn't find a way to get through it. Whatever it is, sometimes we feel stuck and we lose hope that we can ever get unstuck. Now, if you've ever experienced this, so that the people around you don't think that they're alone, if you've experienced it, say amen. The good news this morning is that Jesus has already purchased your freedom on the cross. We started a new series last week called Savior. And in the first message, I explained that there are at least six different images in the Bible that help us to understand how God saves us on the cross of Jesus. We also introduced the first image, which was substitution. And in this model, sin is defined as breaking God's law. And since God is just, this requires punishment. But God loves us so much that instead of requiring us to suffer the punishment that we deserve, God sends Jesus, who offers himself as a sacrifice. Jesus willingly bears our sin in his body and takes the punishment that we deserve by allowing himself to be crucified by the Romans. And in this act of self-sacrificial love, we are rescued from eternal punishment and we can finally be reconciled to God. This was the first image. Today, we're going to shift gears and we're going to think about another way of construing sin and salvation. This is perhaps my favorite image in the Bible, ransom. The Bible often talks about sin as a form of slavery, something that steals us away from the kind of life that God intends and binds our abilities to live as those who are freed and forgiven. It's like we're kidnapped by sin, evil, and death, an insidious trinity that holds us for ransom. Without God's help, there's no escape. So God sends Jesus, who offers his own life on the cross, to pay our ransom so that we can be set free. Isn't that a beautiful image? This image of ransom is illustrated in our scripture reading this morning, which says that Jesus came to give his life as a ransom for many. It's also found in Luke 4:18, where Jesus describes in detail why the Father sent him into this broken world. Jesus, reading from the book of Isaiah, says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim what? Freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, and to set who? The oppressed free." We also see this understanding of salvation in the Great Exodus. If you remember, the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, but God heard the cries of their suffering, had compassion on them, and sent Moses to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." Pharaoh would not comply. So God set a series of events into motion that would liberate the Israelites from slavery and put them on the road to the promised land, where they could build a new life as free people. And we also see the image of ransom throughout the writings of the Apostle Paul. Paul repeatedly describes sin as a form of slavery and says that Jesus sets us free so that we can be restored into right relationship with God. Consider, for example, what he says in Romans 3, verses 16 to 18. "Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin," you hear the past tense there, "you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin." The good news this morning, my friends, is very simple. God came to save you from the powers of sin, evil, and death, which destroy your life and prevent you from becoming the person that God created you to be. In Jesus, you are forgiven and freed so that you can receive the gifts of love, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is something that God has already accomplished for you in the cross. He's already paid your ransom and secured your release, which means that what used to hold you back yesterday does not need to hold you back anymore. But there is one caveat. For this freedom to make any difference in your life, you must receive it in faith and build a new life that will maintain and extend this freedom. Although the human heart cries out for liberty, sometimes the prospect of freedom is so scary or demanding that we turn it down and return to slavery. When God freed the Israelites from Egyptian slavery, he didn't magically transport them to the Holy Land. No, they had to walk through a desert. Have you ever had to walk through a desert? They had to endure all kinds of trials and tribulations. It was a gift of God. Their freedom was a gift of God, but they had to work for it by making a long journey and building a new life. And when they realized what this journey would require of them, do you remember what they do? They tell Moses to take them back to Egypt, because there, They didn't have to eat this weird stuff called manna. They had leeks and all kinds of delicious fruits and vegetables. Take us back to Egypt. And remember the story that I shared at the beginning about my dad purchasing my freedom by paying off my credit card debt? Well, I did not learn my lesson the first time around. I eventually got another credit card, ran it up to the max, and sold myself back into financial slavery. Learning to live within my means, to budget and save, to make wise financial decisions, all of this was incredibly challenging work that took time and effort. And before I found the strength to get there, I returned to financial slavery more than once. And I have also seen addicts sell themselves back into slavery. I know someone who had 10 years of sobriety from drugs and alcohol. While in recovery, he built a beautiful family and a good career that allowed him to support that family. He came to church every Sunday and dedicated hours of volunteer service. And by all measures, he was joyous and free. But he relapsed. Not just once, but over and over and over again, until his wife and employer said, "We can't take this anymore," and kicked him out. And in this way, he sold himself back into slavery. And we can do this too, my friends. It is true that Jesus paid our ransom by dying on the cross, and that he offers the gift of freedom to us every single day, but with this gift comes responsibility. Franklin D. Roosevelt once said, "The truest sense of freedom cannot be bestowed. It must be achieved." And that there must be consistent vigilance if it is to be maintained. Jesus doesn't set you free so that you can do anything that you want. Are you awake, church? Rather, he sets you free so that you will be empowered to stay close to him, to walk with him daily, and to build a new life of freedom. And this takes faith. We must believe in our heart of hearts that God has already accomplished everything necessary for us to be free. Then we must reorient our entire lives around this truth. And our friends in recovery know this better than anyone else. They have to have some hope that they can be free from their addiction, but then they have to go to meetings once a week, sometimes once a day. They have daily prayers that they do. They have to work the steps, not just once, but every day, over and over again. They literally have to build a new life. And there are some people that I know who have been in recovery for drugs and alcohol that have had to relocate to a new city where they didn't have drug dealers on speed dial and friends that wanted to party all the time. We must build a new life if we are going to maintain our freedom. And this takes work. We also know that building a life of freedom will require us to experience trials and tribulations, ups and downs, successes and failures. We will suffer, and we will eventually run out of the energy that we need to keep pushing forward to maintain our freedom. And this is why we can't just accept the gift of freedom as an act of faith. After all, James says that faith without works is dead, but we must stay close to Jesus in order to maintain the freedom that he has given for us. So what about you? From what chains does Jesus need to set you free? Friends, we all have them. Your parents had them. Your spouse has them. Your pastor has them. We all have things that we're struggling with. You're not alone. It might feel like you're alone, and you might be deeply ashamed, but you're not alone, because every single person in this room has something that they're struggling with, something that evokes guilt and shame, something that they feel is very difficult to get past. And once they get past it, find it very difficult to stay past it. So what is it? Is it an addiction or a self-destructive habit? Are you a slave to guilt, shame, or even self-hatred? Maybe it's anger, bitterness, resentment. Maybe somebody betrayed you and broke your heart and threw you under the bus, and you look back and you say, how in the world can I forgive that person and get past that betrayal? And so you're a slave to resentment. Is it fear of death? Anxiety about your future or unresolved grief? Whatever it is, I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus has already paid your ransom and secured your freedom. Will you accept the gift today? And you can do that this morning by simply confessing your sin and asking Jesus to set you on the path to freedom. And I want to restate that last part, to put you on the path to freedom. It's not a magic trick, which is what we want, right? We're a slave to something. We say, God, I want you to set me free. And God waves the magic wand, bibbity bobbity boo, bam, breaks the chains, never have to deal with it anymore. That's what we want. That's what I want. Is that what you want? It's not how it happens, is it? First, we come to believe in our heart of hearts that Jesus has paid the price and secured our freedom. And when we receive that in faith, we begin to reorient our life around that truth and one day at a time build a new life as we live into that freedom. And the more that we live into it, the more deeply we experience it, and the more we are free. But it's a path. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's a path you will walk for the rest of your life. If you neglect your freedom, you will lose it. And so, if you have already tasted the gift of freedom that Jesus makes possible on the cross, I want to ask you, are you living into that freedom, or have you sold yourself back into slavery? Have you given up again? Have you thrown in the towel? Are you staying close to Jesus and partnering with him every day to build a new life that supports and extends your freedom? Are you investing in Christian friendships and developing the spiritual support system that you will need to push through the challenges and keep you moving forward? Because you can't do it alone. This is why, as a pastor, I constantly say, coming to church on Sunday morning by itself, you're going to hear the good news, but you're not going to be healed and set free and empowered to become the person that God has created you to be if all you're doing is coming to church on Sunday morning, because you got to walk it out one day at a time. And it's too hard to do by yourself, which is why we have small groups, because we need Christian friends. And if you think you can do it by yourself, I guarantee you the jig is going to be up pretty soon, and you're going to find yourself at the end of your resources, and there's not going to be anybody to call because you didn't invest in any of these relationships. Are you investing in Christian friendships to develop that support system to help you move forward? Or are you doing what a lot of us do when we get hopeless? Are you isolating and coasting? Because if you are isolating and coasting, you can slide back into chains without even realizing it. What decisions do you need to make today to protect your freedom, which Jesus paid a really steep price to acquire. What decisions do you need to make today to protect your freedom and to build a life that is joyous and free? These are the questions that I want to invite you to consider this morning. And I want to allow, just for a couple of minutes, we can have silence, or Dean, we can play soft music, whatever you think will set the right atmosphere. But we're going to have a couple of moments this morning for you just to have some time of quiet prayer, to take this message and to realize that it's not just for a group, it is for you, and to personally consider where you are on this journey toward freedom. You can do that simply by sitting quietly and meditating on the scripture reading this morning. You can silently pray, or you can use the Lectio Divina sheet that is in your bulletin and do a little bit of journaling. However it is that you listen to God's still small voice and allow it to raise important questions for you, that's what I want you to do this morning. And so let's just take a few moments to do that. Just forget about the people around you and connect with the Lord. Hey everyone, it's Pastor Mark, and I want to thank you for tuning in. I also want to thank First United Methodist Church of Cocoa Beach, which helps make this ministry possible. If you would like to make a donation to the church, go to our church website, fumccb.com. Also, if you're in town, I hope that you will visit one of our services in person so that we'll have an opportunity to meet. May God bless you as you find your next steps in following Jesus.